for the great feedback on last week's episode. This is part two, which we'll get straight into now. Hope you enjoy, and don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and share with your friends.
When I watched this, when I was thinking back, I was like, you know what, I actually really did enjoy that. And I actually had The Simpsons in place of this, and then I took The Simpsons out. So I did, because when I thought about it, it was how my mindset was at the time. I was completely turned off binge watching. So, Sons of Anarchy, class, again, drugs, gangsters, sex, they depicted 2015 Northern Ireland as if it was 1970 Northern Ireland. It was ridiculous. Corner shops with like six things in them. But it was really good.
Sons of Anarchy is another one that I haven't watched, but again, it was been told to me by countless people.
But see his mum in it, right? Because it's like you watch the evolution of him going from the son and just being nobody, and his rise up the ranks, and it takes you on that journey with him, and you're invested in him as a character.
Character development is very important.
Yeah. And then his mum, you love her 1 minute, and then you're so frustrated with her the next, you're like, you fucking bastard. But it just takes you on that roller coaster, and the ending is very good. But there's some stuff in it, you're like, it just catches you off guard. You're like, it just goes 0 to 100 in a blink of an eye, and you're like, whoa. What happened? Why? Where? When? What's the thinking? And then they'll do it afterwards. You watch some series, they'll show you the build up. This one sort of done things and then explained it afterwards.
Right, okay. I like that.
Yeah, because it gets you thinking, and then it has you going, right, what's it going to do? What's not going to do? Well, Sons of Anarchy, number 4.
Awesome. So, flipping back over to this side of the room. So, this one, some would have actually went probably for Friends instead of this. And originally, this show was billed as an alternative, more updated version of Friends. And over the years, although it was like successful when it was on originally, it's actually gained more of a cult following after. And you never know, in like 10 years, you might have jammies in Primark.
This is How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother.
I knew it was going to be on your list. I've never watched it. I watched a couple of episodes. I actually watched the last episode, if you haven't watched it. The trombone thing?
Oh, the blue French horn?
That there. That was quite good, but that's a roller coaster of a thing as well, isn't it?
I mentioned a few weeks ago that I started watching it as I was preparing to go to New York again and just wanted to pick up and see if there was anything in it that you could go and do. But yeah, I mean, it ran for from 2005 to 2014, and still on Netflix. You can get it on Netflix. It's still on E4 and stuff now as well. And basically, it's a TV show set in the year 2030, and it's about a guy telling his kids, funnily enough, how he met their mother. And it's basically about him and his group of friends and all the shenanigans they went through. I said shenanigans quite a lot. When they're on about New York and all the things that you do growing up, you know. Obviously, there's relationships, there's kids, there's death, there's
jobs, and
it's all in it. But if you like Friends, this one's probably right up your alley. But they take wee digs at Friends when they can sometimes.
Right, okay.
So there's like an episode, and the three characters, Barney, Marshall, and Ted, they go to a bar or they go to a coffee shop during the day. It was their idea to leave the bar and go to the coffee shop and sit and have coffee and talk and whatever, and they went, sitting at the coffee shop, shit, isn't it? Like, we may as well go to the bar again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just taking me stupid things like that there.
Did you know that beforehand, or whenever you were watching it, or did you learn that after the fact?
No, it's like, you watch it and you thought, you laugh in the moment, it's kind of funny, and because they made it like really awkward that it was funny. And you don't think about it, then people are on, you know, what social media is like. It's like, blah, 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 they're doing this. Or people who love Friends are like, bastards. People who don't love him, they're going, ha, you know.
Yeah.
And the Can you do the one by Dave Laughter?
Ah!
That's it. That's the one. Sorry, so
we were just listening to a wee table banger over.
It's an easy follow, 25 minute episodes, not even 30 minutes.
Mm.
And it's just one of those ones that's just gonna be about for a while.
Mm.
You'll start watching random episodes and just jumping in. You know, and 83% Rotten Tomatoes. Number three, you're gonna love Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh fuck, I was joking, Jesus Christ, we lad.
It's my list, it's not fucking your list.
I was joking. I thought you were going to say some Marvel or DC shit.
No, I actually stayed away from that. So in the younger years, obviously, I thought it was brilliant. I rewatched it in my 20s. And so ran from 97 to 2003. It's easy to watch, easy enough to get hooked on. Good storylines, a bit far-fetched, but what do you expect? It's a teenage girl film towards a vampire.
What's next, Charmed?
Good night,
Charmed. If you hadn't said me because Sarah Michelle Gellar was great and I was hitting puberty and beating the balls myself, I could buy a body. But
that was probably the reason the first time I watched it, but here.
Jesus Christ, I can't believe I was joking about that.
It's just a show with there's someone to relate to for everybody, and as long as you go.
Does your wife know about this?
She loves that show. It's brilliant.
And she's okay with you enjoying it?
It's not like I'll watch it now. Well, I probably would watch it now. It's on, just slapping stuff. I think it's on Amazon Prime as well. Might actually start rewatching it and send you clips.
What's the gist of it? What's a general layout of an episode? To see if it piques my interest or trying to win me over or something?
Well, it's not. Realistically, but like I said, in the boys that I did, it's about a teenage girl killing hordes of vampires, but. Honestly, there's somebody in it that you'll be able to relate to, and it spawned. There was two or three spin-off shows from it.
Mm.
Had a big following.
Yeah.
And the writing in it's quite good. It takes you on that journey, which, like I said, is what you want. But basically, there's a group of friends who live in a place called Sunnydale, which is like the epicenter for evil, and they. Along the way, come up with ways to stop evil and stop the world from ending.
What do you call that shop in Belfast? It's on Balmain Street facing Urban Outfitters. Outer Limits.
Oh, Forbidden Planet.
Forbidden Planet, you go down there and buy your Buffy the Vampire t-shirts, no?
I do not, no. I don't have any t-shirts.
Do you have any
fun? I'm going to get a t-shirt on
our
first video, but
we rope necklaces with wee charms and all on them to repel evil.
Totally the most charmed. You're the ghost hunter?
Jesus Christ.
Because you're not a vampire slayer in your sleep. So,
I might have to take you off my fucking groomsman list. I don't know if I can have people know that you watch that show.
Watch it. I mean, my.
How about you? I bought a soundboard.
Alright, go. What's your number? I don't know what number you're on. Four is it?
Macho on it back up here.
What number is it?
Three.
Okay.
Is that your number three, yeah?
Yeah.
Matching it up, bringing it back to gangsters, drugs, and setters. It's a theme of my ones, isn't it? By order of the Peaky fucking Blinders. Do you know what I love about it?
Shit.
No talk about Peaky Blinders,
yeah,
not Buffy.
It's
a short series, this. Right? And it leaves you wanting more every single time. The end of every series. This series, everybody said it. They don't like the ending of it. But they're wrong. Because when you talk to them, they do like it. They're frustrated because it changed. Because normally what happens at the end of a series of Peaky Blinders, again, the character development, you're watching him being a street thug up to dealing with Winston Churchill. And the sex and the double crossing, building ties and stuff. But the end of this series, normally at the end of the series, it'll tie up a lot of loose ends, right? But it'll give you a direction it's going to go. so you have an idea. This one, there's loose ends everywhere. You don't know what's going to happen. And it always starts with something so gripping. Like, see the start of this series? I thought, if you haven't watched this series, skip forward. I thought they were going to kill his son. There was two, in the first two episodes, there was two scenes, and I thought, fuck. And then the second one wasn't as obvious, but I thought, oh shit, they're going to do it, they're going to do it, they're going to do it, and they didn't. And I was like, whew. But see the end of this series, see the last episode, see when you talk to everybody, see the, they're about an hour long, because they're on BBC, no breaks. A lot of people were nervous watching it. I actually remember sitting on the sofa, it wasn't at the edge of my seat, but I was definitely leaning forward and engaged in it. And that was, loads of people were like that, like, people said their heart knob was going, they were like, is this going to happen, is that going to happen? It just, they leave so many variables. The only thing that I don't like about it, because it's six episodes a series, it's sort of, remember we're saying we're Sons of Anarchy, they'll either, some series will either give you the build up,
yeah,
or else they'll give it to you, and then, what happened? They don't necessarily do that as much, they leave big chunks of it out, but it's class. And again, a lot of the characters, you'll know someone like that, but everybody loves, but anybody who watches it, I think majority of them love it. Do you want to do, go and see what the score is in Rotten Tomatoes. What was your Buffy the Vampire Rotten Tomatoes score?
81.
So the Peaky Blinders should have a lot.
Peaky Blinders has a different audience though. This is, my show's been about from 97.
Yeah, but you have to start somewhere, Jared. Do you know what I mean?
92%.
92, there you go.
So 92%. It's a good score.
It's a class.
But that, not as many people would have watched it, I don't think.
Oh, definitely not. Because it's like regionalised.
I'm not putting that straight in my basket. Sorry.
Yeah. Straight in my basket. We need a soundboard, George. Well, fuck, I just want to say something really important there. Yes, I tell this to everybody who I've actually bored Claire to death without work. Killian Murphy, right? His mum is a French teacher in Sinead's old school. Sinead put it together a couple of years ago because the French teacher always used to want about her son who's an actor, Mrs. Murphy. And
funny enough,
boom, he's from Cork. But see as well, see with Peaky Blinders, see the amount of women, right? Men will relate to it, but not in a sexual way. Women love Thomas Shelby. Like, they're in love with that character. You say to him, Killian Murphy, and they're like, no, Tommy Shelby. He's got like a strut and a walk, and all he walks like he's two plasmas under his arms and all, and his big coat and his wee hat with blades in it. But, class. I'm surprised you didn't think that.
This has been something that I've never had an idea.
Never thought
of it. No, definitely not. I mean, Claire and Hugh and stuff in the work with me.
Yeah.
Used to love it. It's their own that, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's worth watching.
Next
same
one.
Buffy. See what? That's where you say it. I know Buffy probably is too. Well.
Yes, for the female listeners, you can go and watch Buffy and enjoy it. My next one is very obscure, and it's a niche comedy. You either get it, or you don't, right?
Is this your number
two?
Two?
Phoenix Knights / Max and Paddy's Road to Nowhere. They're sort of one ends and one starts, and I think McCousin actually, as before we sat down here, McCousin actually sent me a text saying a picture. They're going to bring it back, and
oh, they're bringing it back for
Phoenix
for charity.
Yeah.
It was announced last night.
Private joke.
So that was announced last Friday.
last Friday.
Quiet down.
That was announced last Friday. That's the edit.
Yeah. He's just rolling the punches. But Phoenix Knight is one of
last Thursday actually.
Last Thursday. A meaningful period of time ago, it was announced. It's one of the funniest TV series I've ever watched. Right? Again, it's set in Bolton in the early 2000s, like 2002. It's got the old Nokias. It's just normal people, working men, and it's, again, it's characters. There's doormen. There's old women who work behind a bar. There's a man who runs a bar. He's a crafty bastard. He doesn't want to spend Christmas. Right, and he tries to manipulate everybody to do stuff his way. Peter Kay is so funny. And see when he sat and wrote this. See for him to sit and write this and then nail it. And see for the actors to nail it the way he's thought it out. I don't think I've seen a show replicate that. You'll have shows that you go, oh, that's funny, that's off the beat. You know, it's quirky. But see the jokes in this? They are so subtle that I've watched the series, I don't know, many times. But see, when you watch it back, you pick up on jokes that you missed the first time because you're too busy laughing at jokes three or four scenes before. I think there's one of them. It's at the end, I think it's the second series. And the reason this made my list is because I put the two together to get the four series.
Cheater.
At the end of one of them.
Buffy didn't have the number joke.
At the end of it, his bar gets burnt down, right? For like the second time.
Spoiler alert.
And the fireman says to him, so you need to watch it to see Brown Potter, right? So
see, if
he said it was,
I haven't watched it, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But
don't watch it with me, because I've tried to get Gabrielle to watch it, I'm trying to get Sinead to watch it, and they turned it off because I was howling with laughter in anticipation of what was going to be said.
Preload the joke.
And I'm trying to rewind it and get them to listen to it, and it's just, but there's one line where he goes, it gets burnt down, and the fireman says to him, it was a fag in the toilet that caused the fire, and he goes, some quiz burnt down the bar. It's just so stupid. And it's such an off the cuff remark, and actually I didn't realise it the years later because I was too busy laughing at other stuff.
You missed it, didn't pick up on it.
And go and watch it and listen. I see if you like Peter Kay. If you like Peter Kay, you will love this because it's so funny. It sort of lost traction. It lost traction because Dave Spiggy, one of the main characters in it, Jerry Sinclair, the compere, he sort of fell out with Peter Kay a wee bit over it because he had a big input in it as well, but Peter Kay sort of got all the glory, and I don't think he credited Dave Spiggy as much as he should have. But there's, go and watch it and thank me later. Phoenix Knights, set in Bolton, an English comedy, roll on the floor laughing, ha ha. Right, your number two.
My number two, it's still running, thankfully, and obviously, you know, I'm a huge 50 Cent fan. It was originally his idea, and he contributed towards like the writing and the directing, and he actually acted in it as well. It's Par.
I need and want to watch this. Do you know, I'm very surprised what you didn't have in. If you watch Suits,
yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't have that in.
It's on the honorable mentions.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So yeah, this the show's still running. It's in its sixth season, and I'm completely hooked.
So much so, it's on Netflix on a Monday, and I can get it on a Sunday from other sources, and I will get it on a Sunday, even though it's an hour before it launches on Netflix. It's an hour quicker I get to see it.
Mm.
It's that good.
Everybody says it's phenomenal. I actually have not heard one bad word about it.
I put it, like I said, I love it. The first series, you sort of have to just watch it.
Mm.
By the end of the second series, you'll be... Like that's, the first season is good, it's not bad.
Is this gangsters, drugs, and sex?
So it's based around two New York City drug dealers.
See, it sounds like a kind of show.
There's great character development, like I said, maybe the plot to go on season one, they get really hooked. It literally has everything in it, and the twists and turns are still coming in season 6. You do not see things happening the way that you think you know,
yeah,
but you don't. And you want certain things to happen, or you want, it's almost like you want, it's like there's, I don't want to give too much away, but basically
just go for it.
There's two, but it's still on, that thing. So there's two.
Is it in the current series?
In general, the general thing is that there's two drug dealers who initially wanted to become the biggest fucking drug dealers in New York. That was their plan, and they're both from
cartel dealers.
They're both from the hood, right? And
your boy.
One of them decides pretty much that he wants to go straight, wants to go.
Legit.
He wants to.
Like pharma or business.
He bought a nightclub.
Okay.
Stuff like that, and he's trying to get out. Well, the other one's getting more and more sucked in, but the two of them are like best mates, brothers, and it's just how things happen. It's ridiculous. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we had the debate about it has the best theme song on TV at the minute for me. At the minute.
Okay. And there's plenty of the bucket.
Do you remember
plenty of the bucket?
Well, that's why I didn't want to give it away earlier. So in episodes, in season 6, episode 3, 50 Cent first directed one.
Mm-hmm.
At the very start of it, there is one of the characters on the phone.
Mr. Buckin.
Right behind the Buckin. And we'll take a brief pause and I'll let you watch it. So just let you have it.
Oh, sorry, we're back on. Sorry, we're watching the Buckin there.
What was that noise? What were you doing now exactly?
Setting myself up again.
So I'll just show that though.
You didn't know I was doing that, did you?
Just show that though, a wee small clip.
Of the Buckin.
Just to show you how it can. What? It's pretty like full on, isn't it, for
mm-hmm.
a TV show? That's what you get away with these days.
Yeah, anyone have that in the BBC?
No, definitely not. Great show though. I don't know, it has everything. What did you say? You like gangsters? Got it.
Treachery, crossovers, everything.
Rock and roll, maybe more rap, but it's got it.
Love rap, maybe.
I know.
Mm. Our list of, let's do a rundown of our list again, because I think we've been actually very, very, very different. Which actually shocked me.
Yeah, me too.
We have quite similar taste in a lot of things. So,
go ahead.
Mine, number 8, CSI. Number 7, Friends. Number 6, Father Ted. Number 5, Sopranos. Number 4, Sons of Anarchy. Number 3, Peaky Blinders. Number 2, Phoenix Knights / Maximum Paddy's Road to Nowhere.
And off your list, honestly, Father Ted, I can't believe. It didn't even cross my mind, but
you
seem
disgusted
as soon as
with yourself.
I,
yeah,
I
seem
devastated. For me, number 8 was Breaking Bad, number 7 was Brooklyn Nine-Nine, number 6 was Pool Moves, number 5 was Break, number 4, How I Met Your Mother, number 3, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 2, Par, and before I actually get them a number one, I do need to give the prerequisite that I created this list with the mindset that people would go and watch the series. So
yeah,
that I was trying to give people a list with,
yeah,
of things you should go and watch. So there's some shows that my favourite show, it's either maybe be too old, so maybe it wouldn't stand up.
Right.
It does for me because
yeah,
I've always loved it, but and there's loads of other TV shows that are honestly fantastic, but Only Fools and Horses would have been my genuine number
one. Yeah, I had Only Fools and Horses and I took it out,
but for me, no matter what,
I think we're the same number one,
probably. I hope so. It'd be nice to end on a
I'll recommend this
Don't
book.
Show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Oh, we'll get there in a second. But Only Fools and Horses has hands down the best Christmas specials. The humour in it is top notch, the drama in it is top notch.
Again, it has that character development, it's ups and downs, it's a relatable story that everybody
And
can look to and pick something from.
David Jason, no matter what he's been in, is always Del Boy. Literally Ron, his name's just blank me, I don't know what, but he's always
David.
Ron, David Jason's there.
Oh.
David Jason's thing. Rodney is... I forget his name, but he's in Good Night, Sweetheart and all too, which was brilliant, but... Looking his name up, are you?
No, I know it.
But... Anyway, on to my number one TV show that I think people... You know what, I'm going to do a 3-2-1, I'm going to say at the same time, the name and then I'll...
Right,
okay. Right, so... The number one TV show that I think you should watch, three, Amanda thinks you should watch, 2-1,
Dexter! Yes!
Well done.
Manly!
I knew we were on the same page, you know, I knew we'd get there.
Absolutely.
So we're probably going to have just a wee, probably just better have a wee conversation maybe about it. But for me, it's everyone's favourite serial killer.
It's the perfect premise for a TV show. He's a serial killer who works for the police but only kills people who deserve to die and evade justice.
He lives by a code.
Yeah. And we hypothesised for years of how this was going to end. So throughout the series, Dexter Michael C. Hall he's narrating a story. Right? And we always thought, is it going to come to him in jail? And it's him telling the story from jail?
Like, I've already mentioned that I said earlier on, the last episode. How it ends is just abysmal. It's
atrocious. It's the
it's
worst end
so bad.
In TV history.
But the rest of it is so good.
Yeah. Like, literally, I would watch up to, say... What is it, about 50 minutes an episode?
Something like that.
What's up to about the 35, 40 minute mark?
What was your favourite season? Like, without going into details of the season, what was your favourite season? I'm in season 4.
Trinity?
Yeah. Hands down, the best season.
Season 3, brutal. You have to persevere with Miguel.
Miguel Prado. But that's it, I mean...
You have to persevere with that series.
But
it's
season,
so bad.
But is it bad because season 2 was so good as well?
Season
3 is just sandwiched between
two
of the best TV series you'll ever watch.
And as well, going through this, his personal life, he had cancer. He got married and divorced to
his sister.
She's like, after Dexter, she's the main.
He's the only person, or she's the only person he ever really treated as a person.
Yeah.
Until he met, what's her name?
Debbie?
No. The one he had a kid to.
Yeah. Is that Debbie?
I think so. Oh, mate, it's just so good. You know, season 1, we've got... It's all about the Bay Harbor Butcher. Season 2 is... Some fries with that?
Ice Truck Killer.
That's season 2? Rita, that was
Rita.
It.
Do you remember?
Deb was his sister.
Do you remember the end?
When did it finished in 2013, by the way, so we watched it at the time, so if we're having a wee bit of memory issues or
you used to download on DVD.
And supply. I literally used to get tortured for it. Do you know, right? So remember last Friday when we were doing the podcast and we're doing a wee short one at the start? The one I forgot to mention then
when you or at the end, even when you were talking about the Bellator.
Yeah.
It was 3 years ago last Friday that Conor McGregor came up with that. Who the fuck is that guy?
Okay. Jeremy Stephens.
So, that was 3 years ago, but also 8 years ago, I think it was. If I go back here. Just watched 9 years ago. Just watched Dexter season 5 episode 1 fucked up.
Yes.
Amanda Wilson, no way jealous.
I think I know what that was.
Tommy Gizzard.
Is.
Season 5 was the.
The start after. Is that the one after Trinity?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember the end of season 4 when I rang you?
Yeah, sure.
Like,
I had watched it before you. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That was the.
Yeah.
That upset me.
Oh, it's.
Like, that proper upset me. But.
Did not see it coming, by the way, either. You none of us did.
No.
I remember. That was the thing.
Yeah. At the end of every season, I rang you, and my exact quote was, "Oh, fuck!"
Yeah.
In that pitch. And I think in that one, the end of season 4, and the end of. That was season 8, the last one?
Season, yeah,
yeah.
Seasons, yeah.
I think the end of season 4 and season 8 were the two times I rang you, and I think it was genuinely speechless. Like, I remember.
For different reasons.
I remember sitting, and it was just dead air.
I remember watching that. Like, that I remember, like, the feeling of. Yeah. I mean, we're not giving it away. It's that good. But. Watch it from episode 1. Do you remember episode 1? There's like a episode 1's actually quite a hard watch. There's like a pedophile that he kills, and the guy's burying kids' bodies out the front of his caravan park,
right,
or at the back of his caravan park. It's kind of hard watch. You sit and go, I remember watching going, what the fuck is this, you know?
Yeah.
But persevere.
Mm.
That's that first episode, that's the thing. Second episode you'll be hooked. First episode, you know, this is really for
see,
me.
A couple of people said to me it takes a couple of episodes to get in, because I recommended it, but
once you're in, you're in.
And the
it's on
the,
Netflix, by the way,
The Dark Passenger.
But the, it's almost like,
do we tell people like how,
well, I mean, I think it's old enough that
2006
to 2013,
yeah,
it's long enough past that.
Yeah, so just a brief in the what he is. He was found in a puddle of his ma's blood. She was like a drug trafficker, prostitute.
Born in blood.
Right?
Yeah.
And the guy, the drug dealer, basically chopped his mummy up in front of him. He was like 3, and he was sitting screaming in the puddle of blood, and the police come in, and the policeman, Harry, takes him, and then he finds in his early teenage years that he has this.
So he was affected by his mum's killing.
And because Harry's a police officer, he gives him a code of what to do, when to do, how to do it, but he can't deviate from the code. But it's almost like the scratch an itch, to satisfy an urge, but he has to be very meticulous in what he does, or else he'll get caught.
And he works for the Miami PD as their
blood spatter analysis.
Yeah. And
what do they call the ball character? The wee pervert?
Masuka.
And Angel.
Great character. Angel Batista. And then what do you call him? Yeah, Miguel Prado in the third one. What do you call it? Your woman.
The bitch.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You flip-flopped on her like at times, didn't
no,
you?
I just hated her always.
What did
it? Hold on, we got the character.
But basically, his sister's a policewoman as well. And she's no idea about his double life. But
nobody
Harry
does.
Harry knows. And he's the one that helps him develop his skills. And as it's described, it's a unique brand of justice for which Charmin Dexter feels a psychological hunger. 72% Rotten Tomatoes.
Fuck Rotten Tomatoes.
I know you don't like it, the Rotten Tomatoes, but.
Why?
I think it's just everybody
she
has
on this. I can't
taste.
See her on the list here.
She's got the IMDb.
Oh, she's her. Maria
Laporta.
Laporta.
Fucking just the
tramp. Hater. Fucking bitch. That's how you know it's good. See, when you physically hate the person because of the character they are, you fucking Young Witchy.
You didn't hear it until.
But she's really everybody loves Angel.
That's not the Angel from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, by the way. That's just
Jesus Christ. Dexter.
But I mean, we don't want to give too much away because really, like, the two of us picked it as our number one shows, we were so different.
What's series 6? The religious one?
Yeah, so what did
that's
a
good one.
It was freaky.
Yeah.
It was good, like, but it was freaky.
It was a real twist from what he was used to.
Yeah.
Just go, Martin.
Yep. Honestly. And you can ring me at the end of the season 4. And
I give you permission to ring in sick to work to watch Dexter. I read you a note.
I can feel the devastation.
Mm-hmm. It's bringing back my bad memories, isn't it? But on the last episode, watched about the 35-40 minute mark, and then
just quit
make,
it,
up
just
own end.
Make up your own end.
Yeah.
I just remember he was in prison telling us some story.
Because I remember we had thought up an amazing scenario of how it ends, but I don't want to say it here because then people might come up with the same thing. But Dexter, honourable mentions.
Sure. Okay, so for me, there was a show called The Blackout. Did you ever watch it?
No.
It was one. It only lasted one series. It got cancelled after. It had really great potential. I'm not gonna win too much on any shows, by the way, but this one,
yeah,
because it was only one season. Basically, the world blacked out for 2 minutes, and caused all sorts of devastation and changed how things were, and it was all about what caused the blackout and things like that. So it was really good. For comedy, there's Black-ish, which is a black family who have moved to basically white suburbia and think they're still black, but they're really live more like white people. That's the general tone. It's kind of funny. Big Bang Theory. Arrow, Flash, Suits, Inbetweeners, Goodnight Sweetheart, Fresh Prince, Scrubs, Arrested Development, Lethal Weapon.
What's your half episode since it's 8.5?
Random one. Not many people definitely wouldn't have heard of it. I said it was going to be something obscure as opposed to anything. It's called Dollhouse. You ever heard of it?
Have you?
What's it mean? Somewhere else.
I think it's on the recommendations.
Okay, so I literally did, and Lucifer as well was an honorable mention.
Mm.
Dollhouse, it only lasted 2 seasons. It's basically a secret facility called the Dollhouse, where it erases people's minds and personalities and basically to program them to be whatever the person hiring them wants them to be. So it could be a rogue killer, could be a guardian, could be anything, but it's just all these different scenarios, and then one of them called Echo starts to retain her memory and have flashbacks and stuff, and as the series unfolds her memories begin to return and just slowly puts back her own identity which was stolen from her to begin with. Really, really good. It's only 2 series, give it a go, see what you think. It'll not come back on though, because
that's it,
it's done.
My half episode was one that didn't make the list, but you've mentioned it in your honourable mentions, Big Bang Theory. For years I didn't get the bazinga about it, and see the way it's wrote, the language they use, and the accuracy is fantastic. Making science fun, and your girl Coco, oh my god, I would drink her bathwater. I would suck a dick of the last fella the fuck that. That's how beautiful
that is disgusting.
It's how beautiful I think she is.
Not with short hair though. See when she got that short hair, it's like, nah, man.
I prefer it with long hair, but it still would.
When Granny listens to the episode, she's just gonna laugh because Kelly Cuckoo's hot as like
proper. Oh,
but isn't it mad, like the shows that don't make the list, like, I know we're not gonna go mad into them or anything, but Bang Theory is huge.
Yeah.
The Simpsons, I just think there's too much watching it. You can't tell somebody to go back and watch The Simpsons because it's so many.
It's going 25 years.
Yeah.
But here, what about the other? Did you see the meme I put up?
Oh, the prediction.
Another one.
The Paddy
of Trump.
I didn't see the one of Trump. Paddy sent me one yesterday.
Yes, that one.
Yeah.
I put it up. Another
it's
one.
It's pretty spot on. What was the Trump one?
That one. Your woman, Greta?
Yeah. Last week?
last Thursday or Friday, I'm lost in destiny. Yeah, but they're basically giving you a play-by-play on Trump's time in office. From the Arabs, you know, over the big ball and going down the escalator and stuff and the rigged voting machines. It's scary. But I'll run through my honourable mentions here. I've just done a couple because there's so many.
A father dead for me, honourable mention.
So you've only fools and horses. Bad Blood. 22 series, very good. Making a Murderer. Enjoy that. See, there's... And
Stephen Avery.
Yeah. There's another thing come out there lately about that. Apparently somebody's confessed to killing your woman.
Somebody that's in jail with him or something?
So, Mindhunter. I've started watching that.
Right. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. They're going to
Netflix
do more.
Netflix taking over the world, aren't they?
They're going to do more on different colours. I love serial killers. But there's something about them fascinates me.
But who's your favourite serial killer?
I would say John Wayne Gacy.
Not real life, TV life.
Oh, Dexter.
Why is he not saying Dexter? Go ahead, anything else to mention there?
Blacklist. I tell people about this all the time. It gets, again, there's, I think it's series 3. It's like, right, you're starting to repeat yourself. It's just this format. But then it picks back up again. And one I haven't watched, but I've heard that reviews are fantastic. Billions.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
It's
meant
to be fantastic. But the
we don't have somebody in it. It was called the... Remember we had the other guy from the podcast on? Sorry, I'm terrible with names.
What was the podcast about? General Chit Chat, Paul Caswell.
So do you remember had Paul Caswell on?
Yes.
He, I think, told us to watch Billions.
Did he?
I think so.
But the ultimate one for me, I'm only in the series 4 out of 6. And when I grow up, I want to be Ray Donovan.
Is it good?
Ah!
Ah!
Ah! Ah! I want to be Ray Donovan when I grow up.
Fair enough.
Not as much of the booking, but...
Which is why I didn't make the list.
Which is why I didn't make... But the connotations are that he doesn't. Right? And this is why I love how sex can be huge, because he does... He has sex with women. But it's a manipulation thing to get them to do something for him, so that they owe him something.
What's Lucifer?
No.
Sounds like that.
Is it?
Yeah.
But Ray Donovan, and then the his father in it, Mickey. It's what he called Angelina Jolie's daddy. It's him in real life.
Can't remember.
But anyway, anything Mickey does, anything goes to shit. And we were watching an episode, I think it's the end of series 3 or start of series 4, and he does something and I turned to Sinead and went, everything he touches goes to shit. And what does Ray say?
Everything he touches goes to shit.
Ray,
sorry, go ahead then. I thought you were finished. Wanted to throw back, you said earlier on, I thought Suits.
Mm-hmm.
Suits. Awesome, by the way, if anybody wants to watch it.
House of Cards?
House of Cards, great show, but... sorry.
What do you call that one about the lawyers?
Suits?
No. It's an older one.
Was it your man, Zach Morris, from Saved by the Bell?
I don't think
was
so.
Was he in it? No? It was a really good show, actually, too.
Oh my god.
I'm a bit.
See,
so what do you call it?
The Good Wife. I've never sat and watched it all. I've watched the episodes, but it's very, very good. All about probably like Suits. It's all about lawyers and firms and stuff like that. People going bankrupt, but it's really, really good. Do you know one I always wanted to watch, but I forgot about it? Better Call Saul.
I thought you didn't like Breaking Bad.
People say Better Call Saul's good.
Better. So, it's really good. Season 1's kind of tough to get through. gets better as it goes on, as the characters, you know, like Gus and stuff come into it, starts to get a bit more
chicken guy
back to,
pull up,
gets
ties
a bit
it back
more.
In
so it feels like you're watching stuff, something, you know. So just as a wee quick recap thing, remember earlier on I was saying sometimes you can find things that relate to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my number 8 was Breaking Bad, right? So you had Walter White, who was Bryan Cranston, and I don't know the guy who plays Saul here, but I don't know what his name is, so it was calling Walter and Saul. The two of them were in How I Met Your Mother. Right? So my number 7 was Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Can't remember that tie-in. And number 6 was definitely no tie-in, because that's here. Number 5 was... I have to look my list again. Number 5 was Prison Break. Well, I'm just losing my train of thought here, but basically there was loads of characters. Like, even if you go to Buffy, Allison Hannigan was in How I Met Your Mother. Dexter, the guy who plays the Trinity Killer, John Lithgow, he is in How I Met Your Mother. You know, like, all these things tie back in. Then you've got the other connection with mine, which is Power, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, How I Met Your Mother are all based in New York. And, you know, so there's loads of, like,
wee nuances that are
just all linked to
subconsciously
things
that you
like,
which is,
you know,
you don't realise, things that pique your interest. Well, my theme seems to be the same sort of theme of everything, but it's very, very, it's a very hard thing to do, you know, sitting to pick them. Like, Ray Donovan is an absolutely fantastic show. See just the way he walks, and again, the character, see his wife and his daughter, you could fucking strangle them sometimes, you know, like whenever
that's when you get that buy-in, that's how you know it's good. So when it's like,
I said
when we watched the end of season 4 of Dexter, you felt what happened. I mean, without giving away,
it felt personal,
it felt like it happened to you or to your best mate.
Don't just skip the series 4, the last episode of Dexter, because the build up to it is immense. But,
and just remember, the next time that your co-worker comes in and he brings in donuts or he brings in something, just think and go, do I really know that guy?
Do I really? Ask him what his favourite series is.